Good morning. The reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Joe, flying solo today and leading us in our worship. Really appreciate that. Fantastic. Okay, so we are in the middle of a series called Call to Be, who God has called us to be, what he's called us to do as his people, as his church here on earth. And first of all, we saw that God calls us to be his people, his special possession, that he calls us, chooses us, cherishes us, commissions us. Last week we looked at the fact that we're a family, and so this is a place where you can belong, where you can be accepted and loved just as you are, where you can be equipped and nurtured to grow. And then this week we're looking at the fact that the church is a body. We are a body. And Paul uses this concept of the body in a few places in his letters to illustrate some very key principles about how we are to relate together and function together, how we are to live and work together as his church, his people. And there's five principles that I just want to touch on in terms of what Paul is saying in this illustration. The first principle is headship. We are all submitted to Jesus Christ. Headship. We're all submitted to Jesus Christ. Now, we all have a head. That's the control center of our body. And all of the other members of our body receive impulses and messages and instructions from the head and respond accordingly. And similarly, Christ is the head of the church. He is Lord. He is the one over all and to whom we all submit. And so we respond to him. Just a couple of verses we can throw up here. Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. And God placed all things under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So we are a church of Christ. I can say that I belong, or that, you know, this is my church in the sense that I belong to it. But it's not my church in the sense that I own it or I control it. This is a church of Christ. He is the head. He is the one who is in control. He is the one who owns the church, in a sense. And so, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my preferences or, it's all about him and what Christ wants for us, what His will is for us, and what He wants to see happen in and through us. It's His church, not mine. And so it's all about Him. That's what counts. And we seek to understand and to follow and to obey Him. I grew up in a fairly conservative church in Toowoomba in Queensland, Church of Christ, back in the 60s, the 70s. And I don't know, some of you can, you know, cast your mind back to those times. And the women would come to church in hats and white gloves, and the men would come in white shirts and suits. Can you remember those times? Some of you probably can. Okay, well, this was a very conservative church. And there were some of the young people in the church that had formed a band, and there was a drummer and there were some guitars, and they wanted to play in the church. Now, this was a big issue back then, okay? Some of this was seen to be the devil's music. And so there was a big question about, you know, whether this new music should be allowed in the church where we'd always only ever played the organ. And I remember an elder statesman in the church stood up, and everyone was keen to hear what he was going to say about this. And, you know, he started off by saying, you know, look, I don't like drums. I don't like guitars. That's not my kind of music. He said, but, you know, if that's the music that appeals to young people, if that's going to encourage and help young people to come to this church, I'm all for it. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, here's a guy who doesn't care about his preferences. It's all about what is going to be important for the gospel and for the kingdom and for the sake of Christ. Because it's not my church. It's not what I want or you want. It's what Christ would want. I just, you know, think of... In fact, if I can use an illustration, just imagine this is my hand and it has an uncontrollable spasm, you know. I can't control what it's doing. And imagine this hand thinking, wow, I'm pretty cool, you know. I'm doing good stuff here. But if this hand is not under the control of my head and if it's not cooperating with the other members of my body, that's not very healthy. That's not very helpful. That's not what it's meant to be. So, you know, we are not out here doing our own thing. We are out here under the headship of Christ, submitted to Him, cooperating with each other. And the Bible says that, you know, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And again, they committed themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. So under Christ, there's a sense in which we also come under each other. We submit to one another. As we read last week, we honour each other and are committed to each other above ourselves. So that's the first principle, the principle of headship. We're all submitted to Jesus Christ. Number two, the principle of equality. And that is the fact that under Christ, we are all equally important. Now, Paul stresses the point that even though we have different gifts and different, you know, capacities and different ministries and roles to play in the life of the church, every member is equally important. We read, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And then he goes on in verse 25 to say, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And so he's saying here, every member in the church is equally important, equally honoured, and has equal concern or care. Now, the early church was not hierarchically structured. The early church was big into community, big into connectedness, big into caring and sharing, big into the freewheeling work of the Holy Spirit in their midst. But unfortunately, as the church progressed in the succeeding centuries, particularly when it got the endorsement of the government and the state, the power and the privilege was concentrated into the few, into the clergy, and everyone else was kind of laity. And so one of the parts of the vision for Churches of Christ that got started was to break down this clergy laity distinction, you know, so that no one was wearing robes or had dog collars. And, you know, we talked about the priesthood of all believers, which meant that every member is a minister. You know, a bit like there was a sign outside a church where it had the name of the church, and then it had a minister, and where it would normally be Reverend so-and-so, it had the congregation. You know, every member is a minister, and so that's important. However, very early in the life of the church, there did develop a hierarchy of gifts, so that some gifts were seen to be more important than other gifts, and particularly the gifts that were more miraculous or spectacular, gifts of miracles or healing or speaking in tongues, were somehow seen as being more important than other gifts like mercy or service or whatever. And so Paul had to address that very clearly and very strongly. You know, and of course, that's still the case in some churches today. In some charismatic churches, you know, speaking in tongues or miracles is seen as, you know, if you have those gifts, then, you know, you're somehow more blessed, more spiritual, more whatever than others. And some would even say if you don't have, you know, the gift of speaking in tongues, well, you're not spirit-filled or whatever, whatever. And so Paul addressed this issue in the early church. To try to, you know, get people to realize that, you know, all of these gifts are equally important and every member is equally important. So oftentimes in churches, what you have is you have this invisible ladder, okay? So just imagine there's an invisible ladder here and people kind of, you know, get put on different rungs of the ladder depending on certain criteria. So it might be that some people, you know, because of leadership or because of, you know, longevity or legacy, maybe because of the gifts that they have or the influence they have or the investment in, you know, or the Bible knowledge they have, whatever it is, people are judged, you know, according to certain criteria and are put on different levels of the ladder, some seen as more important than the other. And Paul is writing very clearly to the churches saying, you know, everyone is equally important. It's not a ladder. It's a level playing field. Everyone is exactly the same, equally important. Different functions, but equally important. We need to understand that. To have this sense of some people being more important than others, that's, you know, that's carnal, that's selfish, that's worldly, that's unhelpful, that's unhealthy for a body. So that's the second principle. There's the lordship, the headship of Christ. Under him, we're all equal. The third principle is diversity. And that is the fact that we're all wired differently. We're all wired differently. So just because we're all equal doesn't mean we're all the same. Okay, there is a diversity. Equality doesn't mean uniformity. There is a diversity within that equality. And so Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I like the way Peter expresses it. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so what he's talking about here, if you can imagine, you know, a beam of light coming down and there's a prism. And as it's refracted through the prism, of course, it's put into its various colours of the rainbow. And so what he's saying here is that the grace of God comes down and then is expressed in its various forms, its different shades of colour and different ways of expression through different members in the life of the church. There's that diversity. And so the question is, how has God wired you for ministry in the church, in serving and ministering to others? How has he wired you? And Rick Warren has this helpful, you know, acronym called SHAPE. And I think we can throw it up here on the overhead. Okay, wrong one. There we go. Okay, so S-H-A-P-E. So S stands for spiritual gifts And a number of those gifts are listed in this passage. He lists different gifts in the Romans passage. And in 1 Peter, there are different gifts again. So the gifts that are listed here aren't necessarily comprehensive. But God has gifted us with special spiritual gifts or abilities. And then we have heart, and that is your passions. You know, so what are the things that that push your buttons? What are the things that stir you up? What are the things that get you excited? What are the things that get you angry? You know, what are the things that really are on your heart? That's your passion. Then there are abilities, which are the skills that we develop, the capacities that we attain as we go through life. You may have musical ability or speaking ability or accounting ability or technical ability or, you know, handyman ability, whatever it may be, all sorts of abilities. And there's our personality, which is our unique, preferences, I guess. Some people are much more extrovert, some introvert. Some are much more, you know, structured and organized. Some people are very spontaneous, you know, all the differences of personality. And then there's our experiences. So as we go through life, we have all sorts of experiences. And someone said, God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. So the experiences that we go through can then become a basis for us to then be able to reach out to and empathize and minister to people who go through those same experiences. Someone said it's a bit like learning a language. You know, when you learn a language, you all of a sudden you can understand and relate to a whole different group of people that you couldn't before. When you go through experiences, maybe it's, you know, a miscarriage. Maybe it's a broken family, business venture, financial health difficulty, whatever it is, that becomes then a whole other group of people that you can then identify with, relate to far more effectively. So in all of these ways, God has shaped you, wired you for ministry to others. And so, you know, you need to think through, in which of these ways has God wired me so that I can effectively serve others? And the good thing is that we're all different in that, and therefore we all have a different role to play. So that's number three. Number four is the principle of cooperation. Okay, so where's diversity, we're all different, but then we're also meant to work together harmoniously in those individual differences. There should not be comparing, you know, comparing what I've got with what someone else has got, saying, you know, I wish I was more like so-and-so, or if only I could, you know, play an instrument, or if only I could have confidence up front, or whatever it may be, you know. And so we compare what we have with what others have. And Paul says that's not a very wise thing to do. In fact, he says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It's not wise because you end up either feeling very discouraged because you compare yourself unfavorably with others, or you end up with a big ego because you feel compare yourself favorably with others. And so, you know, either way, it's not wise. You end up with either self-esteem or an inflated ego. And that's not what it's all about. And in fact, in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, you know, I love this. He says, what do you have that you didn't receive? And who makes you different to anyone else? And he says, and if you've received it, then why should you boast as though you didn't receive it? So in other words, the only reason we're different to anyone else is because of what God has done, you know, in and for us. So that's no reason for boasting, no reason for comparison. So we don't have to be jealous or envious of others, but rather embrace your uniqueness. Embrace the things that God has given you uniquely. And as he says, here, if we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever gifts God's given you, embrace and treasure and use those without worrying about others. When you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you, why weren't you more like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or whoever it may be? He's going to say, why weren't you more like you? Because we're going to be judged not by what we haven't been given, but by what we've done with what we have been given. That's going to be how we're assessed. So it's not about comparing, and it's not about competing. It's not about thinking or somehow proving you're better than anyone else. So this is a pastoral issue, as I said, that Paul addressed head on. And it's interesting in these passages where he talks about the body. For example, in Romans chapter 12, he introduces it by saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Have sober judgment. And then he goes on afterwards and he says, to honor others above yourself. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that was read this morning, after he talks about spiritual gifts, he says, I'm now going to show you a more excellent way. And he talks about love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. And so Paul labors this point. It's not about comparing or competing. It's not about self-seeking. It's not about, using these gifts to build yourself up or your reputation or whatever it may be. It's about using them to serve others. That's why he says the gift of prophecy is actually, a better gift than the gift of tongues, because people who use tongues can use it to kind of edify themselves. But with the gift of prophecy, you build up others, and therefore it's more important in the body. So it's not about comparing or competing, but rather it's about complementing. So we work harmoniously together. So we work cooperatively together to achieve a particular task, an outcome. And it's never a win-lose. You don't win at other people's expense. Rather, we're interconnected, Paul says. We are inextricably linked, so that if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. And if one is honoured, we all rejoice. It's a bit like, if you stub your toe, it's not just your toe that hurts. Your whole body is, And likewise, if you, I know it's rare in these days of the virus, but, if you kiss or embrace someone, it's not just, your lips or your arms, your whole body feels good, So we are together. We cooperate together. It's not one competing or comparing and proving themselves somehow better. It's none of that. It's all about love. And then finally, participation. Participation means that we're all involved. We're all equally invested in the body. We equally belong. And therefore, we participate and share together. Up close to where we live is the Big Hills, Initial Hillsong Church. It's a mega church. And I've had a number of people who were former members of our church or members of our former church, who would say, I'm going to Hillsong. I'm just having a break. I'm having a rest for a while. And in a big church like that, it's easy to just sit back and have it all done for you. Particularly when they've got several hundred students at their Hillsong College that are this amazing workforce for their whole church, So you can just sit back and you can just enjoy high quality worship, a great kids program, an amazing youth, it's all there on tap, all there available. And it's so easy to just sit back. And this is kind of consumer Christianity, which is not just, in big churches, but right across churches today. Consumer Christianity, where it's so self-focused. It's all about me. And how can you serve me? How can you bless me? How can you make me feel good? It's all, self-centered rather than Christ-centered. And so we're all involved. We're all invested. It's not about me, Firstly, it's about Christ. Then it's about others and seeking to build and bless and serve each other in that situation. And we're all contributing to the health of the whole. And so, you know, just imagine a body where only some of the members are working. You know, so you've only got one eye and you can only hear out of one ear. And, you know, only one arm, one hand has to do everything. And you've only got one leg that works. I mean, you know, a body where only some of the members are working is not very healthy and not very effective. You know, this is a place where we are all to be involved, all to be invested, all doing the part that God has equipped us to do for the sake of others. Someone said, you know, sometimes churches are a bit like a big sports stadium for a game where there's 30,000 fans, you know, looking on, desperately in need of exercise, and 30 people on the pitch desperately in need of a rest. You know, and sometimes church is a bit like that. You know, you've got these few overworked individuals that are trying to do everything, and you've got a lot of other people just passively looking on and not doing much. And that's not how the body is meant to be. We are all involved. We are all invested. And so that's and the great thing about when we're involved in gift-based, passion-driven ministry, it's a win-win-win. You know, we win in our serving because we are fulfilled and we get the excitement of the benefit that we give to others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. So in our serving, we are blessed. Other people are blessed because of how we serve them. And of course, Christ is blessed to see his church healthy and effective and making a difference in the world to the glory of God. It's just a win-win-win. And not only that, but also, not only are we blessed now, but we will be rewarded in the future. Remember the parable of the talents that Jesus told? A talent's actually an amount of money. It actually became used as a word in our English for an ability or a gift because of that parable. And the parable is about, you know, these servants who come in the final assessment to be judged according to what they've done with what they've been given, how they have used what's been entrusted to them. And for those who used what they were given well, they were rewarded. You know, they received the well done of the master, and they were given greater opportunities and privileges for the future. And just imagine the affirmation of Almighty God, you know, saying, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to have what we're going to call a Commitment Sunday. It's going to be an opportunity for us to think about and respond in terms of our involvement and investment into the life of this church. And so in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to invite you to respond to everything that we've been saying. And so you've got a couple of weeks to think and pray about, you know, how has God gifted me? How has God wired me, you know, in terms of what I can contribute to the welfare and blessing of others? And there'll be an opportunity for you to indicate that so that we can more effectively involve you into the life of the church. But it's all about, you know, the health of every member and the health of the whole, working effectively together in love for a blessing to each other and to the world at large. Let's pray. Father, we delight in how you have set up your church and how it's meant to function so that, Lord, every member is important, every member has a contribution to make, every member is here to bless others and in that process to be blessed. And Lord, how you desire us to be a unified yet diversified, healthy people that serve each other and minister in a way that brings blessing to each other, but honour ultimately to you. And Father, we want more effectively to be involved in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.